It's Mattress Firm's semi-annual sale, where you can save up to $300 on our top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $6.99 on Sealy. Or buy Tempur-Pedic and get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Shop Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more with our sleep experts today to find your best sleep. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale. It's Mattress Firm's semi-annual sale, where you can save up to $300 on our top-rated brands like Sealy and Sleepy's. Plus, get a free adjustable base when you spend $6.99 on Sealy. Or buy Tempur-Pedic and get a $300 instant gift good towards sleep accessories. Shop Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, and more with our sleep experts today to find your best sleep. Only at Mattress Firm. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
I really love the research I did because I believe that these blue holes have caves that go off in different directions. And who knows, they could be connected to New Mexico, the underground supposedly base that has seven levels of experimental, weird, unbelievable, demonic, evil experiments that the aliens and the humans work together. But before we get started, I want to introduce our spectacular guest, Sean Graham. He's the host of the thought-provoking Chasing the Truth. And Sean Graham has a podcast dealing with paranormal and unexplained phenomena. He launched his podcast in May of 2018 and instantly created a buzz throughout the paranormal community. And that's where I met Sean. He contacted me to be on his show about talk about my books. And he has a very interesting story about what led him into the paranormal. So we're going to get right to it. Welcome to Chasing Prophecy, Sean.
Sean, meet Sean.
Hey, Sean. Hi, Sean.
Jason.
Hi, Sean.
Ginny, glad to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Chasing Truth is on Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on UPRN. I've been part of the UPRN family since 2019.
Awesome.
Somewhere around there.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's cool.
There you go. And, you know, I spent about 2 hours, so this is going to be kind of a condensed version of what led me into the paranormal. I actually started out in hospital work, wound up being a regional manager for sleep labs for a chain down in northeast Tennessee, hospital chain. And then I lost my left leg, had to retire, came back with a near-death experience that caused me to start researching near-death experiences and trying to find out, did somebody have something like I did? Haven't found anybody. Talked to about 16 people so far that had near-death experiences on one-on-one. And everybody that I've talked to said, hey, you know, tell them about the stories. Wound up being on Dark Waters, if you know who Dark Waters is, show one evening, and told him a story from way back in my past. He kept bugging me, said, hey, you need to do a podcast. And I turned him down at least twice, and he came to me the third time and said, okay, let's go. What's going to happen? Next thing I knew, I was buying this and that and doing a podcast. This is actually the first time I've been on camera since the first two shows, actually.
Wow.
So the rest of the time, I've got two computers, you know, or two Macs side by side running the show by myself without the stuff, you know, transmitting to three different servers. So who knows what's happening, but I do a live show with live call-ins. Actually, it's kind of, I feel kind of naked not having the call-in.
Well, if anybody wants to call in and talk to Sean, the number to call in is 724-395-6849. And Sean will be lucky to answer any questions.
Yeah. But my show covers just about everything that I find interesting. People call in. Actually, my next show Saturday night is actually a call-in. That called me about 3 weeks ago, responding to another person I brought in that called in to my show And I spent 2 hours with her. Her name was Lacey, and told Dogman encounters and
hello.
Stuff.
Hello.
Oh, she's, oh, there you go.
We have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight, Sean, Jenny, and Jason? So Sean, in your bio about your near-death experience, you got to see like angels, demons, and stuff with God. I was just curious about that if you can enlighten a little bit.
We know that's you, Sean. Jason. Go ahead, explain about the angels.
All right, so when I first, when I met the angels and demons, so this is well into the near-death experience. The angels, actually, the first one I met was an angel. As soon as I crossed over to heaven, I found myself surrounded with light, surrounded with love, surrounded with all the stuff that you hear about. Never did experience the tunnel thing, though. That was the most interesting thing I couldn't figure out. And went on this great adventure where, you know, everything that I could possibly know about or want to know about was instantly, like, you know, Rolodex is right there. I want to know the secret to the KFC chicken. I'm kind of making fun of it, but, I was in a coma for like 10 days. Missing the left leg. They actually told me, told my family, that for the first 3 days I was on the ventilator, don't have hope for me. I was elsewhere, and every once in a while I'll remember something new about the near-death experience and going, wow, how did I forget that? And actually the last major event that happened was me, memory where I was in front of God. And I was talking to another near-death experiencer that was telling me about her near-death experience, and all of a sudden, I get hit with this massive, remembering everything that, how belittled I was, being in front of God and saying, hey, why are you even allowing me here in front of you with all the stuff that I have done? You know, knowing that even the darkest, deepest secrets I've tried to hide away from me, God knew already. And, I got hit with that while I was talking to this fine lady, trying to evaluate, well, is she going to be on my show or not, actually? And I started crying. She said, you okay? And I was like, I just remember being in front of God.
Wow. So, that's incredible.
That's cool.
The key thing is I've talked to a bunch of people that have had near-death experiences, and some of them have this thing where they have time problems. Experience and time. My experiencing of time, I never have a slow moment. It's, you know, last time I was on the show last Saturday night was just like 2 seconds ago to me, or a second ago. You know, it never slows down. And I've actually had many arguments with my girlfriend over that. Why can't you understand it if you're doing this or that? You know, it blows by me just like that. Even my shows, from show to show, I'm like, okay, this one's over. And the next time, they're like, wake up. Oh, it's time to do a show again.
Hey, Sean. Talking about near-death experiences, I had one back in 1983. In fact, yes, I actually died. I was considered dead for 10 minutes. But when I came back, I started to see things, hear things, and feel things that weren't there. And instead of seeing God, I saw darkness.
I went to hell as well.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
you went to hell.
Yeah,
I had to because, you know, nothing happy was there. Nothing. It was all dark. But I will tell you this, and we'll get on with the blue hole. With me, that happened when I was 19 years old, 20, and. I forget everything from growing up to graduating from high school. Has that happened to you at all? Or you just, when the time happened, do you forget the past?
Memory, actually, the one thing that happened to me, I don't know if you can, you know, put this in a category of, you know, having the life review. I remember, you know, I was questioned about a lot of stuff that I did when, you know, throughout my life. And actually, this is the first part of it. And that first part of this, I've never come across anybody that came into, I talked to. I was surrounded by eyes, you know, in the first part of my near-death experience. These eyes look reptilian, believe it or not.
Ooh.
Yeah, they'd open and close, you know, and then it was like being surrounded by, you know, in the middle of a snowball or a snow globe, and these eyes just looking at you. And I would hear these voices and say, hey, why did you do this? Why'd you do that? And I was like, okay, well, I'm dead. Might as well answer the questions. And I got down to, you know, I don't know how long this was, but I got down to the last question that I actually just lost, and I cussed like a blue streak. There was, if you ever watched Coal Miner's Daughter, you remember that mm-hmm. movie? A lot of that was filmed in this area that I live here in Southwest Virginia. Mm-hmm. And, there was a coal camp that my aunt used to live in. And I remember as, you know, maybe a 3 or 4 year old little kid going down the railroad tracks to go to this, you know, feed store to get something from my aunt. And I remember, you know, and during the near death experience, bending down on the railroad track, picking up a Coca-Cola ball cap. And they asked me, why did you pick that up? And I was like, okay, this can't be what death's all about. Being constantly aggravated by all, and then I just cussed. I mean, cussed like a sailor. And then all of a sudden, you know, I said, why in the, you know, H-E double sticks, all that kind of stuff. I try not to cuss on other people's show. I cuss on mine, but, then I said, God, please help me. And all these eyes just went away. And then I see this one creature off in the distance looking at this big, massive opal. You know, it's sort of like an iridescent, you know, flowing opal looking at it. And I was like, what the heck's that? What the heck's that standing in front, you know, floating in front of this opal? So I, you know, by that time I was all ticked off. I didn't care what the heck happened. I was dead. What else is going to happen to me? Kind of float up to the thing. And this thing looked like a lizard, you know, like the alien lizard kind of creature thing. And, it looked at me and I looked at it and I said, what are you looking at over here? This opal looked about as big as bigger than this door behind me on my left side, probably by about twice the size. And I looked in, you know, curiosity got to me. I looked in and I was like, what are you looking at? And there was another person on the other end of that. It's like looking through a window at another person. And they were doing the same thing they were doing to me, questioning constantly. Now, I've, you know, skipped over a whole lot just conversing, trying to condense this thing. And this creature just looked at me. I said, well, I don't care about you. Get away from me. And it just, you know, moved off. And the next thing I know, I reached out, touched the thing. And it was, you know, it felt like sticking your hand in a thick, warm can of molasses, I guess, more or less. And I tried to pull my hand out. And the next thing I know, either I fell into the opal or the opal just surrounded me. And I got bombarded with all the sensations you'd ever care to, you know, experience. Heat, sound, light, cold, darkness, brightness, you name it, pain, all the sensations. And I remember, you know, kind of, you know, getting into a fetal position like that until it kind of subsided. The next thing I know, you know, I was surrounded by light. And then I saw, or not, I can't exactly say I saw or seen. This entity. Now, the entity I now know was an angel, but the angel's name I can't say because it wasn't a name you could say. It was like a feeling. It's like you walk into a room and somebody walks in behind you that you've known for most of your life, a good friend or a daughter or son or, you know, dad, mom. That was its name. But I, you know, instead of me going back through that, I'd named him Bob for, you know, and easy purposes of saying, remember Bob? Yeah, that creature. And you know, it was so different there. Time was there, but it wasn't like here. You know, it wasn't something that you could experience. You could feel it pass tick, 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 tick. It was like the wind being in the middle of a hurricane, but you could stop the hurricane and sling it back around and whatnot. Anytime that I wanted to go somewhere, all I had to think about, and I was automatically there. Time, place didn't matter. I was everywhere at once or in one single spot at once. So,
hey, Sean, how long was this? Was this like an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or was this, you know, how long did this go on, this particular spot?
Oh, lifetimes.
Wow.
And then again, I look at it and it was like just a second.
I mean, but this is when this happened when you were unconscious, or was this?
I was in a coma on a ventilator.
How long were you on in a coma?
10 days.
And this all was happening while you were in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's so cool. When you woke up, was it a gradual remembrance, or did you remember every aspect of what happened?
Well, when I woke up in another hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent 3 months in a rehab hospital recovering from having an open wound. I had necrotizing fasciitis is what took my leg. That flexor.
How did you get that?
I was in a car accident.
Car accident.
That was totally my fault. I won't go down that far, that part of the thing, but it ate my leg up. It was November 17th of 2015 is when the leg was chopped off. I went through two amputations, and, that being said, I don't remember any of the, you know, the being in the hospital. I remember, you know, saying a prayer right before the drugs took effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, telling my sister and my late brother now that, hey, I love you, and made my peace with God and made my peace with my family that was there. And the next thing I remember is being floating in a darkness. And I guess that it totally changed how I look at everything. You know, it flipped my priorities. You know, what I considered priceless before, I could care less about. I don't own a car, don't own anything major. I could care less about having anything. You know, I found out what really mattered was, you know, being able to reach out and say, hey, I love you. Hey, you're my friend. Yeah. Hey, that kind of stuff. That stuff you can take with you. You can't take a diamond with you. You can't take anything with you like that. But I certainly took my mouth with me.
Well, you lost your leg, but it sounds like you gained so much from what happened. You have like a new aspect. Yeah.
Mm.
Very powerful story. Thanks for sharing, Sean. We appreciate that.
Well, I've spent countless hours telling the story. I was actually on Heather Wade's show for 4 hours straight. Told it for 4 hours. I even got up to the point where I was telling about me meeting the devil, Satan, named it three different times. And the oddest thing happened. Everything that was Wi-Fi in my house went out as soon as I started naming it. And I was like a minute and a half into it, telling the story. And I figured out, oh, wait a minute, I'm not online. And then Heather calls me on my cell phone saying, hey, you will be able to get back online. It's like, yeah, I'm working on it right now. And I, you know, Skyped her back, talked to her for a second or two, and then I got everything back up. But as soon as I named that damn thing,
do you think you named them? I mean, did you name it, or did they? You named the devil?
Well, the one thing I do before every show, even this one, and after every show, I say a prayer and say, hey, please lead me and guide me. You know, protect those that are listening to me. I do this every show. And before the Heather Wade show, I said, you know, do I need to say anything about this experience with the devil? You know, please lead and guide me with that. And I was like, all they heard was me mentioning that I met the devil in this experience. And then the rest of it was like, well, we lost him. So I took that as, no, Sean, you don't need to go down that road right now. Okay, that's been said. There's only been a handful of people that I've told that story to. Dark Waters, my girlfriend, a couple other people. But the one thing, Sean, if you probably have come across this too since you had a near-death experience. There's some people that you get this feeling that you can't tell them about it. You can't say, you know, you just can't say, hey, I had this experience. I saw you in it. You know, I did see, I actually came back. I didn't remember this until about a year into it. I came back when my late father actually died the day I was released from the 3 months in the hospital. But I remember my dad and my sister and my brother being in the waiting room outside the ICU talking. And I asked my sister, did this happen? Well, yeah, how'd you know that? Well, I guess I was there. So, but, you know, the one thing that I found with this experience is deja vu just hit me like crazy. You know, after I came back to this house, you know, this is my, you know, was my grandparents' house, but now I'm like the caretaker of it now. This big century-old house that's haunted to the hilt. Literally, you know, I've had experiences while I'm on air and stuff, junk, you know, falling, being thrown across the, you know, pulled off walls and crap like that. But, you know, the deja vu part, you know, I experienced like every other, you know, moment. It's like, you know, I experienced that, but how in the hell did I know that was going to happen? You know, I never experienced that before.
Yeah. So
it's weird. And some of the stuff that I've seen in the near-death experience has come true. Some of the stuff hasn't come true yet, but that being said. Just...
Well, Sean, how do you feel? What do you know about the blue hole in Santa Fe? Do you know about the blue hole in Santa Fe? I know there's one in Florida, and I believe there's one in, Jason, where is it?
There's one in Belize.
Belize.
Yeah, I've heard a bunch of different ones and experiences with UFO sightings around these things.
No, do you believe too that they're connected to the underground bases like in New Mexico and Doyes, and there's one the Nevada where Area 51 is?
Without a doubt, I think there is a connective inner workings underneath the ground that connects just about every part of this country, whether we put it there or not.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I haven't seen it myself, but I've seen and heard people talk about, you know, being able to drive a semi truck underneath the ground for hours and then wind up in another.
Yeah. Country. I don't know how they would. I mean, like the blue holes are like they're like sinkholes that go down, like, mm-hmm. was it 85,000 feet or something? I know the one I researched for my story, which I found really fascinating by that. They were in 1972. The divers are young college kids. They went down with their scuba diving equipment. They were drinking, and they somehow never came back up. Some say their lights went out, and they couldn't figure out how to get back up. Mm-hmm. And they closed up the caverns underground. Well, these caverns, these tunnels, they scuba dived down, and then there was the caves, and then they could get up and they could party there, and they stayed down there, and then they would go, there was more caves, and I don't know what happened, they got lost in one of the caves that went underground, and somehow the water just sucked them up, and they found their bodies I don't know was it 3 years later, was it 3 years or 3 months later, in Lake Michigan.
So
that just goes to show you that these tunnels, they go all over the place.
It's
scary.
Especially up in the Great Lakes, I've heard of stories where stuff winds up in different parts of the United States. One actually traveled around the world and wound back up in California from the Great Lakes. So it's hard to tell.
There was one story that I was just watching a documentary about. The divers went down. I believe this one is in Florida, and they were holding hands. They found their bodies way underneath the hole at the mm-hmm. bottom, and they were holding hands. Apparently their lights, another of the lights went out, and they just held hands. They were like chained together, like in a circle. It was so, the divers who found them said it was so scary and just so surreal, like, you know, like, oh my God. So they didn't even bring them up. They left them there. That was their cemetery, I guess, that they, they couldn't get back. What did you read?
I was reading that there's, you know, like several hundreds of people that, you know, they would go down, you know, whether it was with one tank of air or something and get too far, then there was no turning back. Or I was reading one about, nitrogen necrosis or something like that. And, you know, a lot of people, they just get so far lost in the caves, you know, the ones that were inexperienced, you know, you know, and then they just end up below that hydrogen sulfate layer and that's it. There's nothing down below there, you know.
That's
other than a permanent resting place.
It's a lot of them won't even go down there to try to recover because it's just too dangerous. And they did close them off. They did close another one that Santa Rosa, they closed it off. But sometimes these kids go in there and they try to, because I think anybody can go there at night. There's like, who's going to stop you?
It's there was a 17-year-old kid that, I forget, it wasn't too long ago, but, you know, tried to go playing around and, you know, not supposed to be in the blue hole. And, you know, he got sucked down and under and, you know, and he passed away. And then I think one of the famous ones is that Russian guy. He was 22 years old. He was a diving instructor. Mm-hmm. His name was Yuri Lipsky. And he went down and he had one tank of gas and he ended up going a little too far. There was going to be no way up. And I forget exactly what happened, but he ended up literally just descending to the bottom really quick.
I got my daughter's hair looking tight, so we hopped in the car and went to Mickey D's to celebrate. I did my thing with these braids meal.
There's a meal for every moment on the McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu.
Enjoy a tasty McChicken biscuit or chicken McGriddles. Get two of the same or one of each for just $3. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
Quickly. And they found his camera and they were showing, I saw some of the footage and you just see him. He's at the bottom, just like struggling. And then that's it. You know, it's creepy. Very creepy.
It's very creepy. And it goes back to the tunnels. I mean, I think they're all connected. And what better way to go underground, like the U.S., UFOs? No, there's USOs, the submerged, unidentified submerged object, those alien crafts that they said that go underwater. What other way? That's so cool that they can go down there and go through the tunnels and go to the underground bases in New Mexico where they do, I believe, like the Deuce papers that they do the, I don't know about you, Sean, Graham, I believe in the seven levels down in New Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Dulce, New Mexico.
Dulce,
that place has got a rich history. The only thing is everybody brings up these old, you know, 50s and 60s UFOs. What about now?
They're happening right now. And
yeah, they're happening right now. Colonel Corso, I've heard that freaking story so many times. You know, okay. Yeah, we got some technology, you know, in the thing. What's happening now? What's coming out right now that we don't know about? That's what I want to hear.
We're going to hear about it hopefully soon. But it just seems like New Mexico and they got the Devil's Triangle in Bermuda. And it's the triangle, like Orin, remember Parks was talking about the Aaron, what was it? The book, Sean Kelly. Remember we had him on the show? And it's been confusing, Sean Graham and Sean Kelly. when he was talking about with Jolie about the triangle in New Mexico, and then you have the triangle in Bermuda Triangle, and then these holes seem like they're connected somehow. They're like sinkholes that go way down, and they have tunnels that go. No one's tried it because it's too dangerous to find out where these holes go to. Maybe they do go to New Mexico, you know, in under one of them underground tunnels.
Possible.
And that's what I wrote about in my main character, my male protagonist. He went down there and that's what the story is. But somehow I have a feeling that it's not just fiction. It's real life.
Jenny, I have a question for you. So with the tunnels, because I was reading different things, do you think that those were, you know, maybe built more by UFO space, you know, spacecrafts and all that stuff? Or do you think that with all the stalactites and everything they're finding, that these tunnels were actually formed more from the last ice age? that they're, you know, coinciding these sinkholes with?
I don't know. I think maybe they are the UFOs that submerge, because it takes them to the tunnels, the underground tunnels. And that's how I believe the reptilians and all of them that they traveled through. I mean, how could they get to one side of the earth in such a quick time? And just going back to like the portals, like with, we were talking about the missing 411, maybe yeah. This is something that they have something like that in the earth that's not in the water. But they could be, but this is where it gets tricky. And I think I'm going to write David Paulus a letter. He always says he finds these people in the water. Okay. Mm. Maybe that these little creek things have some kind of portal underground passageway to wherever this creature is living. How about that?
He said
it's just unfathomable. I mean, they're always having their face down in a creek or some kind of source of water.
Mm, that's definitely a.
That's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to make it.
Yeah. Really what do you think, Sean Graham?
Well,
SGSK.
Where I actually live in Southwest Virginia is right on the Kentucky border. The Mammoth Cave system stretches all the way through Kentucky into Tennessee, into Virginia, West Virginia. Yeah, well, you know, fingers of that cave system is underneath my butt right now. So,
oh wow.
That being said, you know, it's hard to tell what's underneath there. You know, there's oodles and oodles of UFO sightings around this area. Bigfoot sightings are what they call boogers or wood boogers since
boogers.
The BFRO came down here to Bristol, Virginia, Bristol, Tennessee, and researched or did an investigation, and wood booger popped up. And, that's what popped up. I remember as a kid, my grandmother saying, hey, get back in here before it gets dark, before the booger gets you. So.
If anybody has a comment or want to talk to one of our guests here, you got Jason, you got Sean Kelly and Sean Graham, give us a call at 724-395-6849. I'm looking at the chat to see if there's any comments here. You guys see?
Double dog dare you to call in.
Talking about Virginia, I just came back from Virginia, me and Jason. But I went down there a couple of days early, and I'm telling you what, the Appalachian Mountains are creepy, dude. And so they are. And what was crazy was they didn't have the leaves on the trees, so it was like kind of bare. Mm-hmm. And I went gold prospecting down in North Carolina, and I'm telling you what, God only knows what's out in them woods, dude. Honest to Pete.
There are so many stories about what's out there.
Gosh.
Everybody's got this, locally, a tale about Monster Road. And I actually told this tale here locally, and somebody from, you know, here in the town I live in said, yeah, I know that road, Monster Road. And, you know, I've heard it three different ways. It's either a Bigfoot or an old World War II vet that was mangled. And, you know, the Monster Road was where teenagers go out and park and nick. And this old guy comes up and pecks on the window and scares the living crap out of him, and they move out. But I've also heard moonshiners say, yeah, Bigfoot's out there on Monster Road. Yeah, that being said.
we're coming to the last 20 minutes. Guys, you went on this Octagon investigation. What do you have to say about that?
That was one awesome house. I'll just start off by saying that you know, every house has its, you know, groans and creaks and everything. This house was so well built that in the middle of the night, it was absolutely dead silent. You didn't hear one creak, one floor, nothing. Like, it was amazing how it was built. But the Civil War stuff that the owners have collected over the years, it's astounding. Like, it's incredible. The whole place is just full, you know, all the Civil War and, you know, Gettysburg memorabilia and Lincoln and Washington. It's definitely a good history lesson as well as a ghost hunt, you know. And we had a couple other team members with us from another team, and it was a pretty interesting weekend. Sean hooked up with them pretty good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience there, Sean?
Oh, okay, sure. I'd be happy to. First, Albert, Jennifer, Jenny, or not you, Jenny, but whatever. I'm just like lost for words here. And he's going to yell at me when we get off here because he's watching the show. But no, they're a deaf mute team, black. Dark silence, black silence, something like that. And this was the first time that we actually did an investigation with people who were deaf. And I'm telling you what, there was a little bit, it was a little bit harder of a communication, okay? But I tell you what, after a while, we started to get into a rhythm. And they did pretty decent. You know what amazed me the most about that is, like Jason was saying, I spent a lot of time with them. They were sitting with the K2 meters, okay, even the REM pods that we had going, and they would sign, you know, they'd just sign, and it was responding to their sign. It was crazy. And all weekend, it really blew my mind. Just signing, no talk, just signing like this. And the K2, the REM pod, they were responding. And I'm thinking to myself, and it was mind-boggling all weekend, because does the spirit hear our thoughts, or does it understand signing? And it was like really,
I
really
think they hear your thoughts. What do you think, Sean G?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. They, you know.
Yeah.
If you're connected to that side and you're open up to that side, yeah, for, you know,
and
listen to it. They feed off that energy, actually. So if they can get a rise out of you, you know, all the more power to them. Say, oh yeah, that I can communicate with this person. You kind of shine in, like a light in the dark,
right? When you're okay, there's it's Albert, Jessica, and Wendy. There we go. Got the names right. Sorry about that, Albert. I know he's watching right now.
Yeah, they're watching. I can see them.
Oh, yeah. They're yelling at me already?
No. No, I don't think they're yelling. I do see that, getting back to Sean G's tell about the devil, Daniel wanted to know, please describe it more, and do you still experience physical effect from it?
The one thing, the description, if I put it in a 3D model, like, you know, looking at this stinking computer I'm seeing, you know, I couldn't do that. You know, it was, you felt this thing, you seen this thing, you seen all the way around it, underneath it. You know, it was just part of, like, you, part of your environment, and you're a part of the environment. So to describe what it looked like, I couldn't really tell you. Other than it was this massive light that once I connected to it, you know, the entities I connected to, but this is probably one that's differentiating this entity from everything else. Everything else instantly transferred, just say, hey, this is what I experienced so far up to this point, and this thing hid from me, and I knew it hid from me. Yeah. And but the other thing was, it gave me a glimpse of how much it just literally wanted to rip me from, you know, every atom and put me back together and do it all over again. But I hate to say this. I know my girlfriend's listening, and she'll probably say, why did you say that? But anyway, it reminded me of a used car salesman trying to sell you something. You know, your best buddies, you know, jovial, wanted to talk to you. But that underlying, you know, just extreme hate for me. That was the censure. Now, since I've come back, I have no fear of the paranormal. I have respect for it. I don't want to sit there and jab it like a stick and say, "Hey, do something for me." No, I don't want to do that.
Right.
That kind of stuff, you know, that just boggles my mind. Hey, run into a house and piss something off. No, why in the world would you want to do that?
There's one comment by Mr. Knuckles said that the Bible talks about the fountain of the deep. Imagine a geyser shooting up from these blue holes 1,000 feet into the air. I could see that. Kind of. You never
know.
There's more
out there than we can imagine, and it's true.
Yeah, there's a couple more questions about the... tell us a place from Michael. Hell is a place where you cannot even feel God's presence, a place void of God, not fire, and knowing you could have asked Jesus into your life and all the chances you had, and you didn't take it, Sean. So,
I've been down there before.
Well, hopefully you won't go there again anytime soon.
Right. The one fear I've got out of all this thing is to mess up my connection with God. That's the one fear I've got.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you think that, Sean, you know what you should do? I listen to Marshall Taylor. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a big YouTuber, and he always starts his YouTube with saying the Lord's Prayer in Latin. So you might want to learn it. And that, they said that because the devil, he does not like Latin, and he does not like the Lord's Prayer in Latin.
This little ring right here has Lord's Prayer on it. That works.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Actually, I have a question for Sean G. So when you were in your coma and, you know, you're experiencing all this stuff, do you think that it was almost like a form of astral projection, you know, because your body was in a weakened state? So when you encountered the devil, that he was trying to overtake you and your body while, you know, you're out there, you know, do you think it's like something along that lines or?
No, I felt extremely protected. You know, without a doubt, I've never felt so, you know, out of harm's way. You know, there was no harm there. You know, even when I was in connection with it. Now, the one thing I will share with you that the parting gift that this damn thing shared with me is you will remember this conversation or this exchange when you need to. And that was the last thing it said to me or, you know, shared with me. And I'm like, okay, I haven't remember day yet, so what the hell is this going on? What did it tell me? What did it share with me? So that's what I'm not looking forward to it, don't want to experience it again, but hell, that being said, astral projection, no, I was not a part of my body, and whatever was me inside this thing right now was not.
So where do you think this thing is? It's like in a different dimension. Where you were, where your mind was, where your soul was?
How I look at everything is weaved like a immense spider web. You know, even the other side, other dimensions, everything is, you know, on top of each other. You know, it's hard to say other than if I could just leap out of my body and say, hey, Jason, come over here. Let me show you what I saw, experience. Do that kind of deal. But I think it's all in one and one and all, but it's separate for whatever reason. I think we'd go mad if we tried to experience it right now.
Yeah.
Real quick, shut up. I found the group's name. They're called the Black Silent Ghost Adventures.
Oh, and wow.
All right, Pat figured it out.
No, I got it on my computer here, buddy. I had to type it in. We need to talk more, Sean, me and you, okay?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I have a lot to get off my chest.
About what you experienced?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even go down to what I experienced before I had a near-death experience.
That's why we need to have a 9-hour talk session.
Buddy. Well, I'll just leave you with this before we jump off. I actually experienced as a respiratory therapist two near-death experiences by other people. I've revived them, and they come back and said, hey, I saw you do this, Sean. I was like, what the hell? You know, you were dead when I touched you the first time, even seeing you. And they're telling me what I was doing. You know, I was a respiratory therapist, new into the field. And, you know, this little old lady was 90-some years old, and she was floating over bed watching everybody. She explained to me, she pointed out everybody that was in that unit, saying this person was doing this, you were, you know, ambuing me and keeping me breathing and all this other stuff. I was like, how in the hell? Is this my first, you know, really weird experience as a respiratory therapist, one of many. But that lady even picked out, said, that little lady that wore the nursing hat's not here today, but she was there last night taking notes, and I know for a fact that lady was never conscious that entire shift I was there. So there was no way she knew that. No way. Other than, you know, at that time I was on the fence of what was happening on the other side. And I was like, I was, you know, had my brain stuffed with calculation and how to, you know, evaluate a person's breathing by just looking at them, you know, look, listen, feel kind of stuff. You know, dip your toe into that pond for the first time. Like, how the hell did a person that was flatlined and came back and told me what I was doing to her? And I knew for a fact that that lady didn't know what I was doing to her. So, that being said, I've got hours of hospital and sleep lab paranormal stuff.
Crazy. Cool. Well, Sean, you're gonna have to get together with Sean Kelly and discuss that. He's something's weighing on him.
Yep, absolutely.
Maybe you just better start saying Our Father in Latin.
I do know how to say it.
Go ahead, say it.
I do know how to say it. I know the Hail Mary, so I'll say the Hail Mary.
In Latin.
Yeah, Ave Maria, Grazia Plena, Dominus Tecum, et abecta tui mulieribus. And benedictus fructus ventris Jesus. Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis technocora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Wow.
And I was going to be a priest in high school. Yeah.
Oh, really? We have to talk about that one.
Yeah, that's
sure.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, if you can say the Hail Mary, you should say the, how do you begin the Our Father, name of the Father? How do you do that? It's,
in nomine Patris, Patris Ecclesiae et Spiritus Sancti.
Sancti, Amen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn it because I want to say the Our Father in Latin because I don't want demonic presence around me anymore because I know they're around me.
It's right behind you, Jenny.
They're everywhere.
I don't see, I'm not sure what, okay, we're only at 48 minutes. Usually we get a little bing from the Joe, the station owner, but we haven't gotten it yet. So next week we're going to be talking about the how do you say that, Sean Kelly? We're going to be doing the Dulce papers, and we're going to go over each
Phil Schneider.
Yeah, each level of the underground bases, and we're going to talk about all the weird stuff that goes on there. And I'm going to try to get somebody who's an authority on it. We're going to try to discuss that and talk about, are they really there's like grays. There's one level is reptilian, and then you got the humans experimenting on human beings with the aliens. It's kind of creepy stuff. Very creepy.
We did talk about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Way back.
How they come into your house and there's no entrance.
Well, they're coming through a portal.
Ooh. They're just phasing in, phasing through your walls.
That's Sean, crazy. Do you believe UFOs and Bigfoot are connected?
Absolutely. You know, I actually had Linda Godfrey on my show about 2 years ago. Fantastic lady to talk to. If you can get her, get her. You know, and she's been doing her circuit here the last little bit. I don't know if she's still doing it. But I actually, you know, researched it quite a bit, and I said, hey, Linda, have you ever noticed that if you lay a UFO sighting map on top of a Bigfoot sighting map on top of a, actually, Indian burial mound map, they all correlate just about?
Wow.
She said, yeah. Yeah, you know, crazy. Don't take my word for it. Go out and look. It'll surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
And then lay a paranormal map on there.
Definitely. And I think the human beings have a reptilian brain. Maybe we are part reptilian.
Actually, they're, the pons area in the back of the stem. Yeah. That's
definitely. Then you got the Nephilians who mated with the Earthlings. And Nephilians are fallen angels, and they look... You know, they could be part reptilian too, because if you go to the Bible, and the devil is always replicated as a serpent. You know, the devil always portrays a snake.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. We say in that Latin soon. So before we go, guys, I know we have you in the books for, you're going, are you going to, is it Tennessee?
Oh, we're in Tennessee. I used to live
in Tennessee. You're in Tennessee. Guys, don't you have a ghost investigation somewhere down somewhere? Or are we doing a show on it? I can't remember. I'm looking at my calendar.
I don't know.
The Tennessee witch or something? Wait. Come on, guys.
That's the Bell Witch.
The Bell Witch.
Yeah.
She's in Tennessee. So that's what the show is on May 6th.
Bell Witch. Okay.
Oh, road trip.
Road trip. Yeah. Do you know anything about the Bell Witch, real quick, Sean?
I don't, but Russell does.
We're going to have
witches all over the place in North Carolina. Yeah. That's just one of those things.
The witches of the South.
Yeah, witches of the South.
I wonder why.
Wicked Witch of the East.
Well, actually, right here in Northeast Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, Kentucky, on the border, there are a lot of secret covens around. Believe it or not.
Secret caverns?
Covens.
Oh, witch covens. Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the 1700s, where they traveled, eastward or westward. They stopped here. You know, there was a big pass that they actually drilled a big road through. The legend has it that these covens, have their own little black churches that look like barns, more or less. But inside of them, they're not barns. They're big cathedral-like.
Well, yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're having a little somebody telling us to say bye-bye. So I want to thank you for being on the show, Sean. We'll have to have you on again.
Thank you, Sean.
And make sure you guys check out Chasing the Truth with Sean Graham. And, guys, my books are going to be free next week on Kindle. So you guys can watch. I'll tell you next week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be free. Make sure you check them out so you can read them. We can talk about all this underground alien base.
Whatever you're funny, Peacock's got it exclusively. Bears beats The Office on Peacock. Stream every moment from Dunder Mifflin and explore bonus extras and exclusives. Plus, if you're looking for more classic hits, you can stream every episode of Parks and Recreation, 2 and a Half Men, and every season of SNL. In the mood for something brand new? Check out Peacock's original comedies, The Amber Ruffin Show, and Saved by the Bell. Whether you're craving a new binge or familiar fave, you can find tons of comedy hits on Peacock. Get started for free at peacocktv.com. Whatever you're funny, Peacock's got it exclusively. Stream classic sitcoms like The Office, Parks and Recreation, and 2 and a Half Men. Plus, catch Peacock original comedies like AP Bio and Saved by the Bell. For all your exclusive comedy faves, go to peacocktv.com and get started.